Welcome to the Nintendo Fusion Podcast, a podcast that fuses past, present, and future Nintendo thought. I'm David, accompanied by my friend Jordan. Now, Jordan, I have a question for you.
Okay.
What is the difference between Snorlax and a pillow?
My pillow doesn't eat 1,000 pounds of bamboo every day.
Honestly, that's pretty good, but the correct answer is one sleeps a lot and the other gets slept on a lot.
Oh, no.
Wasn't that a super funny joke that I found online? Anyway, welcome to the 30th episode of our podcast. Can you believe we've gotten this far, Jordan?
That's quite a few episodes. Yeah.
It's pretty exciting.
Yeah. Now that we're going week by week, we're going to rack these numbers up a bit quicker.
Yeah.
So it's pretty good.
But as my joke cold opener may have tipped off a little bit of our topic here, we wanted to talk a bit about Scarlet and Violet. Now, Jordan, why do we want to talk about Scarlet and Violet this week? Haven't we talked about it enough?
Well, this is kind of our last opportunity to really talk about it before we really know like everything about the game. I'm sure next week we're going to get a Pokemon Direct for the game. And then the week after is the release of the game.
Yeah, they typically do some sort of long form YouTube video a week or 2 weeks before the game launches so that we can see more of the features. They might give us some of the Pokemon evolutions, maybe a couple new Pokemon here and there just to really amp up the hype right before the games. But yeah, considering we're so close to the game's release with how our recording and release schedule works, it's best if we just kind of talk about how we're feeling about the games right now before that happens, huh?
Yeah. Especially since, like, if we were to talk next week, it'll get drowned out by everyone else talking because they're a lot bigger than we are.
Yeah, that's also very true. So I guess before we talk about some of the specifics that have been revealed and talked about since our last episode on Scarlet and Violet, which was a few months ago, interestingly enough, we've actually been doing non-Pokemon topics. I kind of wanted to just ask, how are you feeling right now about Scarlet and Violet? Just cold right into this episode before we get into any of that information.
This is the most apathetic I have felt for a Pokemon game ever.
That's sad.
I don't have like strong emotions either way. Pokemon Sword and Shield, I was filled with a lot of rage for that one. And most Pokemon games I've been pretty excited for going into it. I think the Pokemon game I was most hyped for going into was probably X and Y, just because the idea of going 3D was such a big, it was such a big moment. And also the idea of Mega Evolutions was pretty hype.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I think X and Y was pretty big. Though yeah. For me, interestingly enough, it was honestly Sun and Moon were the ones that I was most excited for. Mostly because we had talked so much about its release cycle on our previous podcast. Yeah. So it was always something that we were talking about.
Plus, it was coming at the end of a pretty nasty Nintendo drought.
Yeah, no kidding. The Wii U era and not a lot of stuff even coming out on the 3DS. Nope. So
that was the year where Star Fox Guard made it on our top 10 list. I'll always remember that.
Oh, man. But no, I can agree with you. I think Scarlet and Violet here, I don't know. I felt more excited the less I knew about the games. Like, I was so hyped when they announced the new generation near the beginning of the year. And I thought the starters looked really cute. And I still love Sprigatito very much. But like, yeah, the more information we get, the more questions I have about the actual game itself. And I feel really spoiled by a bunch of the other games that I've just really been enjoying lately. You know, like being able to play a lot of Splatoon 3, that's been so fun. The game looks really great, performs well. I've been playing around on my, you know, gaming PC and just had a lot of fun. And Scarlet and Violet just right now don't look very good to me.
Yeah. This is also the Pokemon game I feel like we know the least going in. Black and White was probably the one we knew the most about going in because they didn't do a worldwide release back then. That was also what was so exciting about X and Y. It was the first like simultaneous worldwide release game in the Pokemon franchise. This one, they have not done a good job selling the open world to me quite yet.
Yeah, I totally understand that. And I can see the amount of information that we're getting, I think, is better than like the pure like shove down information that we got with Sun and Moon, because Sun and Moon gave us so much information.
Yeah.
And then Scarlet and Violet like gave us hardly any, or not Scarlet and Violet, Sword and Shield also didn't really give us that many new reveals, but it was the first HD game, so we were all excited anyway, and any mention of it I think really piqued most of our interests, and there was a lot of online discussion and rage regarding like Dexit and how awful the trees looked. So at least in that regard, it was being talked about all the time.
You could not escape Pokemon discussion leading up to Sword and Shield, whereas Scarlet and Violet, you have to actively seek out Pokemon discussion, I feel like.
Yeah, I don't see a lot of people talking about it outside of the like Pokemon Discord servers that I'm in. It's really interesting. And even like the last month in some of the Pokemon servers I've been in, we haven't even talked about Scarlet and Violet. It's been like wrapping up things in Sword and Shield or even in Legends Arceus or even some of the older generation games. There just hasn't been a ton of discussion from what I've experienced regarding these new games. And that's in a Pokemon-centered community, you know?
Yeah, and also it feels like we just got Arceus not too long ago, so I don't think people are as hungry for a new generation as we typically would be at this point.
Right, but the Pokemon machine demands another generation, so that's what we're getting. But yeah, why don't we talk about some of the like specifics, things that have been revealed since our last episode here, if that's okay.
All right.
So we got like 3 new Pokemon since our last episode that were like officially revealed. The first one that was kind of cool and had a really fun reveal that I'll talk a little bit more about the actual reveal itself later, because it was honestly more about the character that they revealed. The Pokemon was Bellybolt, and it's like an electric frog Pokemon. It looks honestly ridiculous, but the best thing about it is I think it's very clearly a reference to Gold and Silver Beta Politoed. Politoed.
Yeah, I could definitely see that.
Because we've gotten the beta sprites from like that major leak, and it's just like this big kind of ovally shaped frog that has eyes that aren't eyes on the side of its head. It just looks so much like that design.
Oh, man. If we get more of the beta Pokemon from Gold and Silver, I really want that shark, the Anchor Shark.
Oh, yeah, that'd be so cool. Because they are very clearly taking, at least in my opinion, Bellybolt and also Ferrigarath, the evolution for Girafarig. Mm-hmm. In that beta, they had a totally different design direction for Girafarig and its evolution. Actually, it had a pre-evolution. So it seems that they have taken the current direction of Girafarig and evolved it. So maybe they were looking back at those old sprites for inspiration for some of the new stuff.
There seems to be a lot of Gen 2 love going into this game as well. Just a lot of different forms for different Gen 2 Pokemon.
Yeah, and we won't talk about it necessarily here, but there are quite a few interesting leaks that also deal with a lot of older Pokemon getting a lot of love in these games. I'm very excited to see if those leaks end up being true. There hasn't even been like a hint about them in the official like release stuff or announcements that they've given. So it makes me wonder if like Game Freak and the Pokemon Company are actually really holding back on a ton of information to surprise us, or they're just going to dump it all on us this week.
Either they're dumping it all this week or it'll just get leaked a few days before the game comes out. I feel like this is the least amount of leaks we've gotten for a Pokemon game.
There are
leaks, but it's nothing like the entire Pokedex just getting dumped.
Yeah, fair enough. Though typically the big Pokedex dumps don't happen until the actual game breaks street date early.
Right.
And that hasn't happened because of the way that digital downloads work for this game. And it seems like Nintendo's being very careful with giving, you know, the physical copies out too early, I guess. We don't have the full decks released yet, but there have been some notable leakers in the community. There's like the Riddler, who I believe his name is, and a couple of other individuals out there that have given us quite a bit of information about some mechanics and returning Pokemon, but like we haven't seen any of it to confirm that it's real, though most of their other leaks that aren't related to that information have come true. So if you want to go digging around to find those leaks, I'm sure you can check out the like Pokemon Leaks or PokeLeaks Reddit. they've got all sorts of aggregate posts there. But I will say, like, it doesn't seem like the leaks are as talked about right now as previous games have had them. Would that be fair?
Yeah. And like I was saying, like, general discussion has just been very low for this game compared to previous Pokemon games.
And maybe it's because the people our age that we talk with a lot are just moving away from Pokemon.
Yeah. So it might just be a demographic thing. Maybe children are still extremely excited and the game will do very well. I wouldn't be surprised if the game doesn't do as well as Sword and Shield, but I imagine it'll still sell like 15 million copies or so.
Yeah. It's also the second generation on a console. Those games typically are better, and I believe they do perform better, if only because of the install base being larger. Though Sword and Shield performed exceedingly well, even their DLCs and whatnot. So, I mean, we'll have to see what the numbers are, but I think they'll do just fine.
Yeah, I think that... So Black and White sold worse than Diamond and Pearl.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. And Gold and Silver did worse than first gen. And then Sun and Moon did beat X and Y.
Okay, well, it's still an interesting pattern. I still think that like the game quality improves mm-hmm. over the same console. But I guess that's not always true about the sales. So I don't know. I feel like with Scarlet and Violet, though, we have a lot more people with Switches in their hands compared to when Sword and Shield launched. Though Sword and Shield might have benefited from being released just before, you know, the global pandemic. So we'll have to see how that goes, right?
Right.
But kind of circling back to some of that information that has been officially released by Nintendo, there were two other Pokemon that were officially revealed. The first one is Wigglet. What do you think about
I do not like Wigglet. I don't like how the dirt moves with the Pokemon. It doesn't look natural because it just stays in like a uniform blob around the Pokemon. It doesn't like look like the dirt is like moving in any case. It's not like the Wigglet is like actually pushing earth to move around. It's just like the dirt is part of its body and it really bothers me.
Yeah, it's a bizarre Pokemon. It's also not a regional form of Diglett. So
it bothers me so much when the dirt rotates with it, when it turns around, it's like, why?
The eel is just turning around. Why is the dirt like part of the actual model and not even attempted to be blended into the environment?
Oh, it just does not work in an overworld setting.
Hey, they did the same thing with Diglett, right?
Oh man.
But anyway, Wigglet is a convergent evolution. So it is not actually related to Diglett or Alolan Diglett. It is an entirely different species of Pokemon that just so happens to have characteristics similar to Diglett. It does not help that it is named almost exactly like Diglett, just with a W. But it's still so weird to me that they did that. But then there's also the question, are we getting a Wugtrio or are they going to give us a different evolution?
I would guess a different evolution. Please don't just have three of those sticking out of a hole.
But then it would truly be a convergent evolution, right?
No.
we don't need another Diglett Pokemon. We didn't even need Alolan Dugtrio, though Alolan Dugtrio was cool because of its hair.
Yeah.
It really inspired some wonderful He-Man memes.
I really like the Alolan form Pokemon.
Yes, Alolan forms are good, but I don't like Wigglet very much. I know a lot of people do, but I don't. Another Pokemon that was officially revealed was Grievard, which is a ghost puppy, which honestly looks kind of like they took... Herdier, so the middle evolution of Lillipup, and smashed a Litwick on top of it and made it a ghost Pokemon.
Is this in a similar situation as Wigglet, except a fusion form of Herdier and Litwick?
I mean, it is a different breed of dog, technically, and it does look different, but the candle is so similar to Litwick that that's just the comparison I've seen. It is a ghost, so maybe it's the vengeful spirit of a Herdier and a Litwick, though Litwicks are already dead. I don't know. Ghost Pokemon are weird.
Well, at least it's not just like an animated object, so I'll take it. It's already one of the better ghost Pokemon.
Yeah, it's really cute. This is the second dog Pokemon we've gotten this generation as well. Usually we don't get that many dogs because we already got Fido. So it's kind of cool to see them give us another ghost and that it's a dog. It does, however, part of its lore is that it like saps the life force away from everyone around it. So I don't think it's a very good Pokemon to have around at all times. Though I did see somebody point out that the best possible companion Pokemon for the Grievard is a Togepi, because Togepi is just overflowing with life energy somehow. So they would just have this nice symbiotic relationship where Grievard would keep Togepi in check and Togepi would let Grievard not eat your soul.
There's still worse Pokemon or ghost Pokemon out there.
yeah, there are. But anyway, I think it's really cute. The trailer was kind of fun, and that was their like Halloween Pokemon reveal during Halloween season. Before that reveal, though, there was a trailer that kind of showed off a lot more of the like story modes that we would be doing and some of the like overworld mechanics and a little bit about like the first or second gym that you end up fighting. Honestly, not a lot of the information I actually retained because I couldn't get over how there's no anti-aliasing. And we can talk about that part later. But they did end up leaking a few Pokemon in that trailer. It was so funny. This was like 4 weeks ago.
Yeah, I think I heard a bit about this.
Yeah, so the Japanese and English and European versions of the trailers were beat by beat the same, but they had very clearly been recorded on different builds of the game. So the Japanese trailer had none of this, and the game actually looked quite a bit better from the Japanese trailer. In the English trailer, some of the Pokemon models that were roaming around had super jittery animations. Like, think back to Chingling back when Arceus was first revealed, like super low frame rate. But then on top of that, there were also parts of the trailer where you could actually see Pokemon they haven't announced yet. In one of the shots, if you looked at the mini map, it showed a whole bunch of Pokemon icons up in the mini map. And we know they're Pokemon icons because a Rookie D was included in that set of icons up there. And in that set of icons, we saw a brand new mouse type Pokemon, pure white with huge ears. Honestly, it looked pretty cute. Have no idea what its name is or what its typing is, so it's probably a normal type. A parrot Pokemon that kind of just looks like a normal parrot. And a new mushroom that totally looks like it could be from Minecraft. It has like a square base and really rigid angles for the top of its mushroom. So that was really fun to see those reveals. We know that there are at least four families or three families just from that list that we are going to get to experience that we haven't seen yet. But then also there were a couple of other little sneaky reveals, not icons, but actual Pokemon models in some of the backgrounds of shots. At one point, they show off the camera feature where you can kind of take selfies with your character and with some Pokemon that are around you. And behind the menu was a brand new bug type Pokemon. Might be an ice type bug. We're not entirely sure. It might be ice type because it was in an icy snowy region where the picture is being taken, but you could see like black antennae moving up and down, and it was definitely not a Pokemon we've seen. So there you go, Jordan. There is at least one new bug.
Yeah. That's the worst typing combination possible.
It does not like fire or rock.
let's smash the two weakest types together.
Well, and they already did that with like Snom and Frostmoth.
Now, to be fair, Snom is adorable. And Snom
is adorable.
Snom is one of the best Pokemon ever made.
Yes, absolutely. Though it is incredibly weak and not very useful.
One of my favorite things to do in Sword and Shield was to play fetch with my Snom, because it would just take 10 years for it to go across the screen and pick up the ball.
That's amazing. Did you ever like have a Grubbin with it in your party too? So you just had these two little grubs?
No, I should have. There was once I was playing fetch at the Snom, though, and then, like, I think a Riolu, like, picked up the ball right before the Snom and ran down. I was like, no. And so I banished that Riolu.
You're like, back in the Pokeball, or back to the boxes. That's amazing. But hey, at least one new bug. We got to have at least one new bug. Hopefully there will be another one. And maybe that was the trainer's bug type Pokemon. So it's not actually ice type. But again, no official information on that. So we'll have to see. And then the other reveal that was kind of seen in the trailer was a very humanoid looking Pokemon. It was very hard to see. It was very far in the background. But a lot of people are drawing similarities in its kind of shape and design to Cerulege and Armarouge, those two like Mega Man Pokemon that were revealed a few months ago. So it might be a pre-evolution.
A pre-evolution, and it's a split evolution.
Yeah, a pre-evolution, split evolution that is also version exclusive. So, and the version exclusivity might just straight up be like, you can only really get like an evolution item in one or the other.
Oh, that's right. We don't even know what the version exclusive Pokemon are yet, do we?
Nope, we do not have a very good list. The only exclusives we know for sure are Cerulege, Armarouge, and Coridon and Miraidon, as far as I know.
I don't like that. I think to be like pro-consumer, you probably should release that list.
Yeah, especially for people that are not buying both copies, unlike myself, who is buying both.
I think I'm still Scarlet. No, not Scarlet, Violet. The one without the Flintstone dinosaur.
I'll play whatever one you don't play so that I can send you the version exclusives first. That's fine. I don't mind.
Unless there's like a really cool bug in Scarlet.
Yeah. I mean, I did the same thing with Sword and Shield. You know, I played through Shield first because I knew all my friends were going to play through Sword. So I don't mind. I don't really care too much about version exclusives because I can eventually have them all. But anyway, Jordan, you'll just have to wait until the game breaks street date and all of the leakers start dumping the Pokemon lists, and then we'll get the exclusives.
It'd be so great if only one of them breaks street date, so then we don't know what the exclusives are for the other game.
Well, you could still probably figure it out.
Oh, because, yeah, deductive reasoning and all that.
Well, and little known secret, the ROMs are identical.
Oh.
Like, there's literally just a flag.
Like, was that the case in Sword and Shield as well? Because I know that was...
Yeah, every Pokemon game has shipped that way. It's a single flag that basically just tells it what tables to look up and what cutscenes to run.
No.
As far as I understand it, that was absolutely the case for Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl. It was like a single flag, and you could actually flip the bit in RAM, and it would just immediately load the other game. You can't quite do that in Sword and Shield, but as far as I understand it, all of the data tables and assets for both games are in the same, are in both cartridges.
I think it's time to move away from the two versions of the game. Now that we have profiles on the Switch or on the console that Pokemon is played on, it would just be nice to just maybe not even have you like choose which one you have, but have like four or five or six different like sets of route tables, and upon creating your like copy of the or your save file, it randomly chooses one of those route table groupings, so that way there's still incentivized station to trade. But I don't know.
If they needed to incentivize trade, I think that is the exact way to do it, is have a random seed determine what your route tables are going to be. That'd be sick. The other thing, though, is Legends Arceus clearly showed that you don't need multiple versions for a game that has more than like 200 Pokemon in it for it to still be fun. And people still trade a lot of Pokemon in that game.
Yeah, but do they trade as much as the other Pokemon games?
Probably not, though I imagine a lot more shinies are traded. Like legitimate shinies anyway, not botted shinies. Because it's so easy to get shinies in Legends Arceus because they actually show up on the overworld and you don't have to encounter them. So you're constantly seeing more encounters constantly. So even if the rates are the same during a single playthrough, you are way more likely to encounter a shiny on your playthrough without the shiny charm, simply because every Pokemon that you see is a full encounter like in Sword and Shield. Whereas in Sword and Shield, it would take you like a minute, not really, more like 30 seconds to run up to the Pokemon, start the battle, see if it's shiny, then run away. So people were shiny hunting in Legends Arceus without even really knowing it because they could see everything about the Pokemon as it spawned in. Anyway, that's a little bit of my rant there about shiny hunting. And so many people are like, I have actually heard quite a few people say, the rates in Legends Arceus just have to be larger in general. They are when it comes to like filling out your Pokedex and stuff. But like in the base game, it's because you can see the encounters. It's like in Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee. People found shinies a lot more often because, again, they were shiny in the overworld. All that to say, there is good news. Joe Merrick of Cerebee.net, he got to play the game early along with a couple of other publications. And he found like the first ever shiny in Scarlet and Violet, and it was shiny in the overworld. It was a Go-Goat.
Go, go, go.
All that to say, I do think that they could move away from version differences, and I think that route table randomness would be sweet. And they could also still have two box art legendaries, but you just can only choose one of them. Like, that would still be totally fine. Or they could just get rid of that.
I personally just have just one legend. It works fine with Gen 1, right?
Yeah, Mewtwo. That's all we needed. And then the individual versions focused more on like this game basically features Charizard or Blastoise or Venusaur with the red, blue, and green. Though they could definitely get rid of the version identity and just make the next generation not a version. But then also, Jordan, if they didn't have split versions, then they wouldn't get all the double dippers like me.
Yeah, I was just looking at sales, and Arceus, while selling very well, sold about 13 million compared to 24 million for Sword and Shield.
Yeah. Though Legends Arceus is technically a side game, but I imagine a lot of those Sword and Shield sales are from the multi-dippers.
Yep.
I bought the game four times. Yeah. Maybe I shouldn't have said that out loud.
Wow. Who would ever buy a game multiple times? Not me with my six copies of Metroid Prime.
Well, I have multiple Switches, and I use my copies of Sword and Shield for automation purposes, but that's another discussion for another day. So it's not like they're being unused. But I also really wanted to have the cartridges that had the DLC built in, so I never had to download the DLC, and that they could be used on any of my profiles.
So, quick question. What game do you think is the game that you've bought the most amount of times? For personal use, not as gifts.
For personal use, I mean, Sword and Shield, I've bought four copies total.
Yeah.
And I've used them.
Remakes count.
Remakes count. I've bought Xenoblade three times. I mean, I'm trying to think of like even some retro games, maybe like Mario 64, if you count the original cartridge, my own personal copy of the original cartridge, because I gave one away. The Wii Virtual Console download, the Wii U Virtual Console download, and then the Super Mario Bros. All-Stars, so that's five copies, and then the subscription for Nintendo Switch Online. So I guess that's six total copies for me of Mario 64.
I think it's Ocarina of Time for me. So I have three copies for the N64. Of the N64 games, I got an original gold cart. I have a version one of the game in a gray cart for collector purposes because it's,
oh dang.
Yeah. And then, and that's an NTC version. I know PAL had a bunch of those, but, and then I also have a version, I think it's three, a gray cart as well. And then on the GameCube, I got the collector's edition thing. I forget what it's called. Zelda's collector's collection. For the GameCube, and then also Master Quest for the GameCube. So that's five. Got it on the WiiWare. So that's six. got it for 3DS. So that's seven. And then got it for the Nintendo Switch Online, like download. So seven times.
What can we say? We really like some of our old games. We definitely are not double dippers. We're like quadruple quintuple dippers. That's crazy to think about how many times I've bought some of the same game. I don't want to think about that ever again, Jordan.
I'm really bad at this because I'll buy games on console and then just be like, I just want to play on PC and get up on Steam.
I mean, I've done that a couple times too, but not probably not as many as you. Anyway, back to Pokemon.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think I'm going to double dip this game.
That's fine. I'll send you all the version exclusives. All right. Probably, if there's a way to exploit getting shinies, like there were to get raid shinies in Sword and Shield, I'll send you some shinies of the ones you want to. So, anyway, I am double dipping. I've already got the pre-order on lock, so I'll let you know how both games feel, because I will play through one and then speedrun the other. Because I need the Virgin exclusives, and I need at least one of Koridon and Miraidon each for my living decks. Anyway, I did want to move on to talking about one of the new characters that was revealed and how funny the story was around this character.
All right.
Her name is Iono. Did you see any of the reveals around Iono?
Nope.
Okay, so what was really funny was, they announced, okay, we're going to do a new trailer. It's going to show off a new character. It'll be out like tomorrow and whatnot. And all of these PokeTubers and Pokemon content creators were super hyping this up. Like, this trailer is probably going to give us so much information. You know, we're going to have that new character reveal that they promised, but I imagine we'll also get like 5 or 6 new Pokemon. And I was like, yeah, you're crazy. They're not going to give us more than one new Pokemon, probably. And then the trailer comes out, and this character, Iono, she is like the electric type gym leader, and she is basically the personification in the Pokemon universe of a VTuber. She's not a VTuber, but she certainly dresses like one and has the personality of one, and she's amazing. But what was the best about it is that she's like talking about how exciting it is to do Pokemon, be a Pokemon trainer, how much she loves her fans and being online. And then she was like, okay, now it's time for us to play a game. And that's, what is my partner Pokemon? And she gave like a couple of like little hints. And then she was like, okay, we'll reveal the answer on the next episode. So then, of course, as soon as that video was over, all of these content creators like were super furious. They're like, Pokemon clickbaited us. And so many of us in the community were like, you know, you do that with every single video you do, right? Is you clickbait everyone. You turn like a single Pokemon reveal into like a 10 minute long video analysis and whatnot. Like, come on. Just because she clickbaited you, she's very clearly like the personification of the content creators in the fandom. And I love how it just like boiled some of them up. Because then, of course, they released another video with Iono, and it was the continuation. She was like, welcome back. Now it's time to give you the answer. She like had gotten some imaginary fan emails asking a couple of questions and even giving like their answers. And then, of course, that was the reveal of Belly Bolt. And anyway, it was just really fun. But I did want to kind of point out that the video was super fun because Iono was completely voice acted in the trailer. She had a very, I mean, clearly Japanese anime girl voice, you know, very high pitched, energetic. But it really made me think, why don't we have voice acting in Pokemon still? I know it has a million languages, but like, I think voice acting would elevate the series immensely.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And also, I feel like Pokemon kind of needs it because it tends to lean a bit more young with its audience. So there's a lot of kids that just don't know how to read that are playing Pokemon. Like, I started playing Pokemon, what was I, like 6 or so when the first game came out?
Yeah, so lots of things go over your head, like hints to puzzles and whatnot, even if you can read.
So I think having it voice acting in Pokemon would definitely benefit the series. I don't even think it would cost that much, honestly. They make so much money off of it. With the amount of games that are able to pull off a worldwide simultaneous release and have it be fully voice acted, Pokemon, it should be simple for Pokemon to do it as well.
Right. And they typically don't have that much story content anymore anyway. So like, how many total lines would they actually really need to be voice acted? You know, unless Scarlet and Violet is going to blow us out of the water with a super long, complicated and in-depth story, which I doubt, but
the fact that like Zelda is a lot more open to voice acting now than Pokemon is a bit interesting, because it's not like Pokemon is in the same boat as Zelda, where these aren't static characters from game to game that have been mute for the most part. Like, and on top of that, there's been a very successful animated series following the entire progression of Pokemon. So people are very used to characters in Pokemon speaking. But Pokemon just does not like change. We still have the kind of growls that you'd expect out of a Game Boy for these Pokemon.
Yeah. I mean, I do like some of the cries, don't get me wrong, but there's not a lot of depth to a lot of the cries, especially when Pokemon are doing different interactions, right? Like, they do try to modulate them slightly and change them up a bit, but it's typically one single cry for a Pokemon, and that's it.
I don't want the anime cries to make it into the games. I don't want them saying their name over and over again.
Oh,
but
no.
I really do. I feel like, what was the one Pokemon animated online series that was more about Red and a bit more grounded? It was
Pokemon Origins, right?
Yeah, Pokemon Origins. I feel like Pokemon Origins nailed the cries perfectly, and that's how I would have preferred they go about it. So, like, Charmander makes like actual growls instead of.
There are a lot of things that they could improve, clearly. I do know that there are a ton of languages that they, you know, translate the game for, but like you said, they could totally pull that off. But what also is really interesting to me is that they don't even do like kind of the gibberish, kind of grunty, random noises for all of the NPCs that you talk to. You know, you talk to an NPC and it's like you're still on the Game Boy where it makes like a ping noise to indicate the start of a dialogue.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of like a character actually making a noise so that you can connect a little bit more with what they sound like. Like even, I mean, Breath of the Wild has voice acting for a lot of its scenes, but so many of the characters, in fact, every single character you talk to has like a little bit of like, you know, grunting or gibberish or like hi type voice lines whenever you talk to them as well.
One of my favorite jokes to say is that I know Hylian. Oi means big brother and IE means, oh, there you are, big brother. I've been looking all over for you. Today is your birthday and grandma has a gift for you. It's a very efficient language.
Yeah, that's funny. I hadn't heard that one before. Meanwhile, in Pokemon speak, ting means whatever. You know, you just have to guess. Has so many possible meanings, literal whole sentences of dialogue for each one.
I wonder if they do that because they think that it's nostalgic for people, even though it's just always been that way. So we haven't had the time to develop nostalgia for the sound effect.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what they think about some of those things. I mean, I can get Pokemon cries not changing so that you can very clearly identify older Pokemon. But like when it comes to individual characters, I really don't understand why they aren't given more personality beyond their design and potentially the way their dialogue is written.
Yeah, there's still some Pokemon that have really good cries like Krikatoon, but.
Yes. Tweedle-leedle-leedle doo-wop. That's a very good cry. Beyond the voice acting, though, the game still looks bad, visually speaking. I'm sorry, but it does. And as part of that early access review that I mentioned that, you know, Serebii and a couple of other groups managed to get their hands on, one common thread among a couple of different publishers, I can't recall their names at the time, but they very specifically mentioned that the performance of the game is really bad. Now, they were probably playing with an early build, you know, not quite to gold. There were definitely Pokemon that were like ripped out of the route tables for purposes of them just being able to kind of go around and play and explore. And, you know, there might be like another month or two of just polishing work from that build to the final release. But still, like, if the game is still struggling a month before release, it does not give me high hopes for the final build.
Yeah, I don't know. I am really hoping that they have just like one random tree that's just really well rendered and just.
So it looks like it's actually from the real world. It's not even stylized.
This is like really, really nice looking tree is just like a joke or joke at the fans. Because of how much we seem to be obsessed with trees, but but yeah, I don't have much expectations for performance from this game. Like Sword and Shield already had pretty bad frame rate issues, and a lot of bad texturing, and I'm sure that this game's going to be even worse with the world being much larger, and I doubt they've done much work in the last 3 years to actually make things load in better. But
well, even in the last year, Legends Arceus still suffered from a lot of that, though Legends Arceus was way more stylized. So yeah, it kind of visually worked for that game in a lot of ways, but
I mean, it still would have been nice in Legends Arceus to have more like foliage and life to the land. It was pretty barren. I
absolutely
barren.
Agree. Yeah.
You can only put sure. in so many objects. And this is just a recurring thing. Like, I've given up. Like, we're just not going to have a good looking game until we get to the next game system. And whatever Nintendo decides to move us along.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still kind of in the camp that we're not going to get better Pokemon visuals until the next generation of games, simply because, like, now that Game Freak is in the same office building as a lot of Nintendo's other teams, I can imagine that. I mean, this definitely isn't like a confirmation or anything, but it sure gives me hope that some of the other teams at Nintendo will reach out and help Game Freak with some things, whether that's making the games look better or helping them optimize the code, who knows. But I am hopeful that next generation will start seeing more higher quality visuals, higher quality models, being able to take advantage of potentially the next system and its power. I have a lot of hopes for the next generation, but as for Scarlet and Violet, I'm like, this game is not going to look good at all. I'm sorry. I'll probably be fine with it once I play through it, but I will just always remember how in the trailers they tried to show off these very pretty looking panning shots. Like, there's one of the trainer riding on a Koridon with like the sun setting, and it just looks so bad. I'm sorry. Compare that to like a pre-release trailer for Breath of the Wild, and you're just like, Breath of the Wild actually has like realistic looking water in this shot.
Yeah. It is amazing just how much better Breath of the Wild looks than most of the games that came after it on the Switch.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I mean, I would say Xenoblade 2, which released the same year, looks incredible. Xenoblade 3 has a lot of really wonderful places that look good, though it definitely suffers from being larger in scope in terms of the world size that they very clearly had to cut down on like texturing and perhaps a little bit more detail. But there are still definitely some great looking areas in Xenoblade 3. Luigi's Mansion also looks good, but like we said last week, that was more because they had very compact rooms to build things in. And Odyssey also looks really good, but like I would say the best looking games that are more open all come from 2017. Breath of the Wild, Mario Odyssey, and Xenoblade. I don't know if you agree with me on that or not.
They're up there, yeah. I'm trying to think like what other games on the Switch. Pokemon Snap looked pretty good.
It did, though Pokemon Snap introduced the uncanny human models that Scarlet and Violet is running with.
Yeah, the human models were not great in Pokemon Snap, but for a game that was focused on taking pictures, it kind of had to look pretty good.
Yeah, for the most part. I agree. I mean, Splatoon looks really good, but
yeah, Splatoon does a pretty good job at making things look good.
But it's just crazy that it's 2022 and Scarlet and Violet doesn't even look like the 2017 era of other Nintendo made games.
Well, it's because their code base is a mess. Let's be real.
Good old Game Freak lib that's written in C++ that they have literally just been like zombifying, resurrecting from generation to generation. Perhaps we cycle back to like, how are your actual feelings with Scarlet and Violet? Now that we've kind of talked it out a little bit, Jordan, you know, maybe you got some more information, maybe you've digested a little bit more. How are you actually feeling about Scarlet and Violet? Let's just get our overarching thoughts out now.
Oh man, like I said, I just feel really apathetic. I don't have much excitement or hatred or disgust or disdain. It's just, it's a game coming out. I'll get it. Nintendo has me stuck just buying their games over and over again. So, but it is kind of frustrating that they don't take the development of these games a bit more seriously. And I just feel so burnt out with Sword and Shield. I still feel burned about that whole situation with Sword and Shield. And I'm sure I'm not the only one. And while Sword and Shield got the benefit of just like tons of negative press promoting the game, basically, I think we're going to start seeing the negative ramifications of Sword and Shield now, just like we're seeing it now, where people just aren't talking about it now.
I did forget to mention one thing, and I want to know your opinion on this and how this affects how you feel about the game as a whole. Every trainer battle is optional.
That's going to make Nuzlocke interesting.
Yeah.
Do we just make the rule that you have to now battle everyone?
I mean, I don't know. They have made it clear that trainers that want to fight you will have like an icon above their heads and you have to interact with them first. No more surprise battle encounters. I know a lot of people are excited about that because a lot of people just want to rush through the game. And I guess ignoring a lot of trainer battles could potentially make your runs harder, you know, because you're not getting experience. But I have always felt like one of the big things about a Pokemon game playthrough was having to work your way around these encounters. Sword and Shield didn't really do a great job with that because the routes were super linear and really short. But like, you think back to the DS era of games, and some of those routes were super brutal, especially if you like self-imposed the rule that you couldn't go back to a Pokemon Center or couldn't use very many healing items. You know, it just added a lot more depth to the game for me, though I know a lot of people just want to blow through the story and then go on their merry way. So I'm conflicted.
So as a kid, I remember most kids just hate being forced into battles. Random encounters, trainer battles, everyone just kind of like mashes their buttons to get through it. I could see a very large user base in Pokemon. Probably they're not even like a vocal user base of Pokemon that this is just catering to and is very good for them. Now, though, I don't like it for me personally with how I like to play Pokemon. Because like I was saying in Arceus, that I would have a lot more fun with Arceus if it was more battle focused, right? If there was more trainer battles. And it seems like this is just another approach of, I don't know, because like the battles are still there. You can still just go do it. You can just make a rule that when you see a trainer, you have to battle them. But I'm going to guess that they're also not, are they random placement of trainers now? Is there less like design for the route? I guess there's no routes anymore because it's just an open field.
Right. Yeah. I mean, as far as I know, I haven't seen like what it looks like, and we definitely haven't seen a playthrough on like a route or whatever from one city to the next. We haven't seen that type of gameplay. So it's hard to say like how it actually works out. Like, are these trainers that want to battle you just hanging out in the cities, or are they hanging out around the Pokestops? Like, I honestly just don't know at this point.
Do they just regenerate once a day? Like, now I want to fight you again. Do they scale off of how many badges you've collected?
Well, if the gym leaders don't scale up with how many badges you've collected, yeah, there's no way they made up random trainers.
I don't know. I don't think this is going to work. I'm starting to be a bit more skeptical about like the actual mechanics of the open world actually working from like a game design perspective. I don't know, man.
And see, that's why I wanted to bring it up with you before I got your final overview thoughts, because I had a feeling you'd be very conflicted about it.
Yeah, like I'm not against. I know there's going to be tons of fans who this is a benefit towards. It's just speaking personally from what I want out of Pokemon. I don't like this. I feel like Game Freak is just stripping more of the Pokemon experience away from me with each generation.
I think there's a difference between streamlining the game experience versus like improving the experience for the current generation. Like, I think that there are a lot of things that game developers can do from large running series to really streamline how the games work so that they are, you know, easier to accomplish a lot of things. I think Arceus did a great job at streamlining a lot of the like battling configuration. You know, it's way easier for you to change your moves in Legends Arceus. It's easier for you to apply items. It's easier for you to evolve Pokemon because you can just do it with a menu. Like, that is positive streamlining for me when it comes to Pokemon because it gives me more control and also puts it in an easy and comprehensive menu. But then when you start to say, oh, they're streamlining the trainer battling experience by making them optional, that doesn't seem like streamlining or improving for the generation to me. That feels more like, we are changing how we're approaching difficulty and how we want to design the Pokemon world. And I just don't think it works quite the same way with how they've developed Pokemon games in the past.
I think I'd be more okay with this if they compensate it by having like fairly large and robust dungeons where you are required to fight trainers inside the dungeons. And when you're out in the open world, you can move around freely. But in like actual dungeons, there is a sense of like, I don't want to say danger because it's still not danger, but you know, like
a sense of that is a hard word to to express. You have that like sense of challenge, maybe a little bit of pressure on you.
Yeah, to move pressure forward. I think is a good way of putting it. And then on top of that, you could like make a personal rule that anytime you enter a dungeon, then you have to rout all the trainers in the dungeon before you can leave and heal up.
Yeah. And I mean, I'd argue that we haven't had a dungeon in the Pokemon games since probably Black and White
era. Yeah, that's been one of the most unfortunate things for Pokemon, in my opinion.
Yeah. Like, I think the closest thing in Sun and Moon is that like final cave push to get to the Hakamo'o trial for the dragon type item that leads to the Altar of Sun and Moon. I think that's a little bit of a decent gauntlet. It's fairly long, though it is really linear. But like, I just think back to the olden days where Mount Moon was actually really hard to traverse the first time playing on the Game Boy Advance. Or you had the Rocket Hideout in Gold and Silver. You know, you had all of the different caves that you had to get to get through to like Lugia and a bunch of other rocket based things. In Ruby and Sapphire, there were all sorts of great dungeons, like the hideouts for Team Magma and Team Aqua, some of the cave systems there, the whole underwater portion to get to Kyogre or Groudon. You know, like a lot of that has been lost in recent generations in favor of the point A to point B stuff, especially Sword and Shield, where every route was literally just, you just walk through it and there were really no side paths.
Yeah, it makes the experience just feel a lot more mundane.
Yeah.
When you don't have these dungeons.
If they wanted to do a good dungeon in Scarlet and Violet, you know, they could have a really awesome cave system. That'd be super cool, where there are trainers that want to fight you because they're like, I don't know, trying to prove themselves. Or you have a dungeon that's like Sky Pillar, you know, just a really tall tower, ancient tower that has really cool puzzles and a lot of mandatory Pokemon fights, whether they're like harder than average wild encounters or something like that. There's a lot of design space in an open world game where you can put those types of dungeons to add that challenge. And I think that would be a better approach than just throwing out trainers that want to battle you that you'd never have to even interact with.
Yeah. And I would argue that like one of the main pillars of open world games is like exploring and finding these dungeons. Like that's the main reason why open worlds exploded with games like Skyrim and Oblivion and Fallout.
Yeah.
Because people just really wanted to find vaults and cave systems in the Elder Scrolls games.
Yeah, I mean, and for those that haven't played those open world games, but have played like Zelda, you know, even the shrines were something to go off and explore and find. Some of them were very visible, but they had cool challenges on the inside. Some of them had quests that you had to do in the overworld to unlock. Like, there's a lot of design space in open world games to add that challenge to the area. And I think Pokemon could take advantage of a lot of those ideas that other games have done. But from what we have seen so far, who knows if that actually is going to happen?
Yeah, I think for some reason I was just assuming that they would still have caves because they are pushing that third treasure seeking route, right? And I would imagine that that would be dungeon focused, right? But maybe not.
Yeah, who knows? Again, we're kind of holding off on, they're holding off on a lot of information for us. You know, at this point in Breath of the Wild, I mean, I keep bringing it up, but when Breath of the Wild was announced, we saw shrines, we saw a playthrough of the Great Plateau. We got a good feeling of like what we would be typically doing in the overworld. But in Scarlet and Violet, they're just like, hey, here are some towns that's very similar to content you've already had, but they haven't shown us anything in the actual open world that makes it look interesting to explore. And part of me is terrified that the reason why they haven't shown us anything like that is because there is none of that.
Yeah, either there is none of it or they're trying to just hide the gameplay it feels like they're hiding something, but they might not be. That might be the worst part, is that they're not hiding anything.
I mean, they're certainly hiding Pokemon from us, and they're hiding some crazy gimmick. I mean, there is very clearly something to do with past and present in the game, but they haven't given us any information about that. Some leaks have talked about that, but I won't bring that up again. Like I mentioned earlier. So like, they are hiding some of that stuff from us, but hopefully they're hiding overworld stuff from us too, like dungeons or challenges. But I don't know. If the only dungeon slash challenge that I'm going to have is fighting whatever that somewhat evil team is that has that like giant car or whatever, if it's just like rushing their base and taking out those Pokemon, I'm not going to be very happy if that's all the challenge I get.
You have to rush their base, but all the trainer battles are optional.
Well, no, like the trainer battles that we've seen from the gameplay are like, you use that let's go mechanic where you send out the Pokemon and they kind of choose their own moves. Like there might be some scripted battles where you do full battles, especially with like the boss or whatever, but they definitely were showing off the let's go feature of you just send out your Pokemon and it just kind of fights and you're just like, yeah, go. I don't know, man.
Yeah, I don't. Oh, man.
The more we talk about this, the more I'm super anxious about these games.
Yeah, I'm starting to move from like apathetic to pretty concerned.
Maybe it'll be amazing. But again, we are going off of so little information about the actual gameplay. For all we know, it's just Scarlet or Sword and Shield with like an open world. So all you can do is everything we did in Legends Arceus, which was just catching Pokemon, maybe fighting, but then like nothing else. I don't know. I'm nervous. Please surprise me, Game Freak. Please.
I mean, they surprised us with Arceus. We were pretty down on that game before it came out.
True. Very true. And it was a delight.
It wasn't perfect. There's a lot of room for improvement for Arceus.
Oh, absolutely. But it was definitely a very fun and lovely time. So maybe Scarlet and Violet will do the same thing. They are most likely hiding things from us. I mean, we know they are with Pokemon and with whatever the third story is. So hopefully they're hiding things about the overworld too. Now I really hope that we get a direct next week to just quell some of these fears.
It will be weird if they don't do a direct next week. It's like I don't think we have any rumors even that there's going to be, well, at the time of this, the release of this podcast would be this week, right? Game Freak themselves seem to be more quiet than previous releases. I don't know how to feel about that. I'm sure we're going to get a big launch, like reveal trailer thing. And I think they're going to show the mid evolutions for the starter trio.
Because
usually
so.
We have that by now.
I would very much like to see them. I mean, I'm still picking Sprigatito. I love that grass cat so much.
I'm going for my Pepper Croc.
Here's hoping that they give us something else. As it stands, we are a little anxious. I wanted to say like cautiously optimistic, but from the tone of our conversation in the last little bit, it doesn't seem like that's how we're feeling.
Yeah. And also, there hasn't been really any revealed Pokemon that I'm really gravitating towards. Like Sword and Shield had Applin. I absolutely love that thing. But
yeah, Applin was amazing.
I guess Applin wasn't revealed before the game came out either. Now that I think about it, that came from the leaks.
I think Armarouge and Cyrillege are really cool designs. I think that Ferrigarath is a really great progression for Girafarig. And I think that some of the other ones are really cute and really fun. But I don't know. The only one that stands out to me is Sprigatito.
My favorite so far. Well, my favorite so far is actually the Pepper Croc, Fiococo. But the Painter Monkey is probably my favorite wild so far.
Grafaia looks really cool. I don't think they're bad designs. But I would just like to see more before the game comes out. And given the track record, how we're only a couple weeks away from the games, if we don't get a direct, then we're definitely not seeing any more of these games. I guess the next time we talk about Pokemon is probably going to be after the game's release, right? Is that?
Yeah, we'll have a first impressions episode the week after and then probably a full review the week after that.
That'll be exciting for at least you to hear how we feel about it after this very... Honestly, a bit of a downer episode. You know, there were some funny announcements and information from the last couple of months, but we are very nervous about the games. If you had to wrap up your current thoughts about Scarlet and Violet in one single sentence, what would it be, Jordan?
Neglected.
Whoa, you chose one word.
Yeah.
Well, okay, well, there you have it.
It'll happen when it happens. I just... I've not really felt much for the game. I've been just focused on other games coming out recently. And it's like, oh yeah, Pokemon's also coming out this year. I have more feelings for the Sonic game coming out than than Pokemon.
Well, you are more of a Sonic fanboy at heart, aren't you?
I mean, those are strong words. I'm usually accused of being a modern Sonic hater, but I still play them.
We'll have to see what happens with Pokemon. I don't really have anything else to say. In some ways, I'm cautiously optimistic, but in other ways, I am pretty anxious and nervous about what Pokemon's first foray into open world is going to be like.
Yeah.
You'll have to wait and see how we actually feel about it once the games release. I don't think I have anything else to really talk about. What about you, Jordan?
I think I'm good.
Well, thanks so much for listening to the 30th episode of the Nintendo Fusion podcast. Be sure to leave us a like or a review or a comment on whatever platform you're listening on. It helps other people find us and tells the algorithm that people like our show. If you want to come talk about Nintendo stuff with us, head to our Discord at nintendofusion.com/discord. That'll beam you right in to our Discord server. But with all that said, that's just about all we have. So thanks again for listening, and we'll catch you on the next one. Bye-bye.
See ya.